marketing. Is it an art? Is it a science? Actually, it's a little bit of both. Elite Marketing Tips is the podcast to hear from people all over the world about the strange and sometimes dark art of marketing. But it doesn't have to be dark, confusing, or strange. There's an art to crafting a message that converts, and there's a science behind why people make a buying decision. Guests like the one coming up have a really cool thing to share with you. After the show, head to the show notes for ways to get in contact with our guest to find out more, and probably some other helpful tidbits of info. Let's jump into the show now. Like, what kinds of changes have you noticed in yourself? Like, what's going on? Catch me up.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that's like a layered question. Because on one hand, I mean, what is insane is, in some ways, I was positioned to thrive in 2020 relative to the fact that there was a global disaster and a horrible pandemic, right? Like, I would never, ever, ever wish the pandemic on the world ever. However, I love and thrive kind of in uncertainty and in the vague. And so, I mean, it was obviously pretty terrifying whenever the pandemic hit. However, like throughout the year, I mean, it's actually shockingly been great for business because the world needs marketing now more than ever, especially marketing that works. Mm-hmm. And then I also got pregnant in the fall. So on a personal level, I'm like, I mean, there's been lots of growth, both literally and figuratively.
Oh my goodness. Both upward and outward. I mean, I'm a dad too. So it's like,
yeah,
I get it. I get it. So you said you got pregnant in the fall?
Yeah, in September.
Cool. Awesome. So no baby quite yet. Almost.
No. June. Okay. Yeah, June. It's coming up fast. It's
crazy. Oh, good, good. My wife will tell you, being like really, really super pregnant in the middle of the summer months is a pain. And it's like, so I mean, better that you only have like a month worth of it to just muscle through and be like, boom, done. So is this going to be your first?
I've heard.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. We're having a little girl.
Oh, cool. That is so neat.
I'm excited.
That's neat. So, well, we'll go ahead and kick things off with, talking about podcast related stuff. So what does your company do? Marketing stuff.
Yeah. Hey, well, cool. Imagine that.
There we go. Awesome. Next question. No. So what's the unique thing that you do? Like what's different about Christina Marie Noel versus everybody else that's out there?
Absolutely. So my company is called Noel & Co. And we're a certified B Corp marketing and strategy consultancy. And really our specialty is working with world-changing organizations to gain the right customer insights that they need to nail the right market positioning, value proposition, and really develop a marketing strategy to successfully go to market. So a lot of our work is very much at the intersection of like market research and then developing a strategy that's going to work. And so oftentimes, like we've realized that marketing is not going to serve you if, I mean, you ask the right question. If you can't identify, like, why should your customers actually care about you? Why are you unique? And are you approaching it in a way that's actually going to connect with your target audience? Because, you know, it's not about us as marketers. It's about what does your audience and your target customer care about?
Right.
And so we love diving in, doing research and helping companies like simply and clearly talk about both what it is they do and why it matters. And oftentimes these companies might have like complex services or, you know, I often joke, I'm like, even as a marketer, I need help with marketing because you can't see the forest from the trees.
Yeah.
And you know, and everyone's like, oh, we can do our own marketing. And I'm like, you know yourself too well. Like the people you need to market to don't know what you do.
Yeah.
That's often why they're hiring you. Like that's why they're going to pay you good money for your services and your expertise. But you can't talk to them like a colleague. You have to talk to them in layman's terms. And you need to identify also like, most companies have 20 things they could say about themselves. What are the 1 to 3 to 5 things that they care most about? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's almost like you can, and I suffer from that, honestly. I mean, there are so many things. It is tough because you want to come out there and be like, and just rattle off a list of things. And people are just like, stop. I can't. And just pick those few things. Right. And
yeah, they're like, look, but really, like, what does he do? Yeah. I'm just zoned out. I mean, I feel like I heard that people daydream 30% of the time, mm-hmm. like as like a energy preservation mechanism.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you are boring too, like, you're going to lose people really, really fast. So you've got about 5 seconds to be
exactly. Well, and you can see it too. Like, I try to get really good at like studying people and reading body language. And sometimes you can just see it in their face, in their eyes. They're just like, they're gone. I could literally say whatever and they're going to be like, that's interesting. You know, it's like, oh, man, dang.
I know. So- you're like, and the worst part is, it's so fascinating, especially when I get to work with technical people, because I love them. They're usually doing like such world-changing stuff. And yet they don't value marketing because they're like, oh, it's just the science. Here's the science. And I'm like, y'all, you have world-changing technology, but the way you talk about it, people are never going to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get to do what you need to be doing. So
yeah,
you have to take this stuff seriously.
Generally, yeah, if you find that your casual conversation involves a lot of 4-syllable words, as a technical person, you're gonna lose them. You're gonna lose them. And it's a really good exercise though, because like that's where I am. I live in the tech space. And
yeah.
You know, when I'm not doing podcasting and I'm not doing marketing and sales and stuff like that, I'm slinging code. I'm doing some crazy stuff, but I'm like, I don't want to tell people about it because like, oh, check out this awesome automation and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm going to lose like 95% of the people. The people that resonate totally. Most with it, they're going to be huge nerds too. And it's like, they're not actually in my target market. So I'm like,
right.
I gotta center myself, you know?
It is hard because, I mean, you totally want to talk to your friends and be like, hey, look at all this nerdy stuff that we've done.
But yeah.
Your customers don't want to know what the ingredients of the secret sauce. They just want to pay you for the secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you just tell me what I need to do? Like, can you just make decisions for me? Because, yeah. I mean, that is why you get paid, is to add value and make people's lives easier.
Yep. Amen, sister. Preach. Will. I love it. Man.
Love it, too.
I missed. So I had you on a previous podcast before, right? Like, on the hot mic. It was a while back, I think.
Maybe not too, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, it's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I maybe look a little bit different because I grew a beard, but I'm like, wow, I forgot how like energetic you were. And I'm like, yeah, I got a cup of coffee sitting here. And I'm like, I don't even need this. I'm just having fun. Awesome. How did you get started in marketing anyway? Like, what was it? Are you what you wanted to be when you grew up, or did you like fall into it, or what's the story?
Oh no, it was quite a journey. So I've been a consultant my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least I've kind of stuck with that route. So I went and got my MBA and basically worked to transition my career. Right. So I've always kind of been this unique mix of right brain, left brain. Like in undergrad, I majored in music performance. I love the arts. And then I also was an economics major. And I love this idea that we have this vague world with limited resources. How do you allocate them? And how do you make, you know, decisions? And then there's so much psychology too in economics where it's, you know, trying to make sense of the mess that is reality. And in many ways, however, I was also naive. Like I graduated in 2008. I literally thought my two career options were banking, and I interned on Wall Street and was like, that's not going to fit.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, well, I guess my other option's consulting, because that's what they hire econ majors to do. Mm-hmm. And so I never, like, marketing wasn't even on my radar, which is somewhat embarrassing, but that's kind of how life works out. So I worked in healthcare consulting for a while. Ooh, we identified underpayments for hospitals, which I'm sorry if you tuned out, it is as boring as it sounds, at least in my opinion. But so what do you do when you're like, okay, I'm in a very like wrong direction now. What do? I was like, okay, I'm going to go get my MBA. I discovered, I'm like, oh wait, there's this need for like creativity and strategy. And so I definitely studied marketing and entrepreneurship. And that interestingly enough, though, it's not like I immediately landed in marketing. Of course, like companies love to hire you to do what you've done. So I landed at a mission-driven company. That was the other goal, is I really wanted to work in ways that I can make an impact. And so I landed a role at a certified B Corporation, found the right company, got a consulting role that had some strategy in it, and then just slowly like chipped away at them until I landed in a marketing and pretty much business development, strategic community engagement role. And yeah, it did not come easy. I had to like pound the pavement and bug them. And then outside of work, I volunteered all the time with mission-driven organizations doing marketing and strategy work. And then one day I quit and built my own consultancy. And it all worked out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, it makes me wonder too, like, have you ever thought, like, you know, your path to get to this point, like, do you feel like you've arrived, or do you feel like, I wonder what life's going to be like 10 years from now? Like, am I going to be doing the same thing, or am I going to be like taking this marketing and everything else and combining it together to some new wild and crazy thing? Like,
Yeah, you
what do
never
you?
know. I mean, in many ways, I feel like I've arrived for where I'm meant to be. Like there have been so many times over even the last like 4 to 6 months where I'm like, I can't believe I'm working on this project. I can't believe I'm getting paid to like solve these really cool problems. Like I had a client that has an amazing tech product that's raising millions of dollars for the world's largest nonprofits. Like
Yeah.
I'm getting paid to raise billion, help this company go out and raise millions of dollars for nonprofits. Like
Right.
this is a dream come true. But also, like life's a long time. I have no doubt that during that time there will be an evolution and we'll see. But I would honestly be happy doing what I'm doing now, probably for the rest of my life. Because it's new every time you have a new client, it's a new problem, it's a new challenge. And what I love about marketing is it's so deeply tied to like the bottom line and the business strategy. Like most people think marketing, they think like Mad Men or ads. And I'm like, no, it's literally pricing, product, positioning, and promotion, i.e., how do you take this business concept and get paid for it? Like it's a big deal. And it's fun and it's meaty and it's complicated and I just love it.
You geek out, I can tell.
Totally.
You're a
Yeah, like I'm
total
totally
marketing
a marketing
geek.
nerd.
Oh my goodness. I could tell from a mile away. Didn't even have to tell me. I'm like, she's one of us. I love it. I love it. So, how has marketing changed over the years, like since you started it until now? Like, has there been any notable trends or whatever? Like, whoa, how's it changed?
Well, it's kind of changed in two ways. So for the highly resourced organization, it's gotten, I mean, and really in, for all organizations, the technology is just astronomical, like how the tech has evolved. It's gotten so sophisticated. But at the same time, it's also gotten extremely more complicated to stand out. So, on one hand, it's like easier to start a business than ever, right? Like you can make a freaking Squarespace website with a Shopify account. And there's also social media, which you can utilize for free. However, also at the same time, like the competition has all come flooded in. And, people are bombarded with, I think they estimate 5,000 plus messages, marketing messages per day. How do you stand out in that? Like, because technology's evolved so much, we're slammed at work, we're slammed by different platforms, like social media is competing for attention. My inbox, I will never catch up on my inbox because so much spam in my spam folder. Like I just literally can't get to it. I mean, I know I should just unsubscribe, but I'm curious enough that I like to see the titles of the emails coming in. But like, I'm not gonna read them all. I'm not gonna read everything that every company sends to me. And so how do you get people's attention? Like, how do you actually get them engaged? And so when I look at like this evolution, it's not like there's some magic solution. For me, it's really you've got to have the right product market fit and you've got to like nail your messaging and positioning and you've got to like hone in on a clear target market. So you've just like how do you operate in a completely like chaotic world? It's like you've got to get really, really focused, be excellent at what you do, be really clear, and then, execute and have amazing word of mouth. So, there's nothing magic, but when it works, it can really, really work.
Yeah.
Because I mean, word of mouth, I'm sorry, it's like when other people promote you, it's number one. That's super powerful and impactful. And then obviously then from there you also have to supplement it with great content marketing and just staying top of mind and coming up with some kind of strategy that's sustainable as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, the timing of this conversation. I literally was talking with somebody yesterday about this thing, and they're, for all the good things that social media creates for people, I mean, and there's mailing lists and email and phone calls, there's just such, everybody's got a megaphone. Everybody can just bop, 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 all at the same time, blast communication everywhere. And it's like, look at us, we have a voice. And it's like, well, it gets noisy. So how do you cut through that noise and connect authentically with the very people who are the best fit for exactly. your services, right? And it's like, I mean, it's a tale as old as time. I mean, people have been trying to figure that out since before social media, since before the internet. So in a way, it's not new. It's right. the same problem. It's just there's different noise. There's different challenges. So,
and there's so many bad actors too. Oh, you know, definitely. I mean, that's a problem. It's like, at the end of the day, it comes down to trust. Like, can I trust you? Are you an expert? If I give you money, will I get value from that? And, mm-hmm. you know, and oftentimes it feels like there's so many people racing to the bottom. And so if you can change this idea from like, I need to reach thousands to how do I reach the right people, like the influencers, the key customers, like the ideal people, and think about it one-to-one. Like talk to one person. I know Seth Godin says that all the time. He's like, don't talk to everyone. Talk to like the most minimum viable market. Because, you know, if you can get raving fans, those raving fans will do the work for you.
They
like
will.
If you can nail it, then that's when there's like actual impact rather than playing the like big game, strategic game, growth hacking. I mean, I know that there are strategies like that that can work, but often it's tied to a really great product market fit, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's the outlier, not, you know, anytime someone comes to me and is like, are you going to fix my marketing overnight? And I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah.
For like $10 million, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, sure, with a Super Bowl ad.
Which money you got on you? Well, I mean, for everybody else that, you know, for the 99.99% of people that are trying the growth hacking and stuff, it's like, it just contributes to noise because so much of that communication is going to the wrong people. And I'm the same way. I mean, I've had to get almost violent with my email just to like keep things down. Like I want to keep, I'm not trying to get to inbox zero, but I at least want to get right. to like zero unread emails. Right. So I'm like moving things around and tagging stuff. And I'm like, so much of this is just noise. And even with, email clients and stuff, they'll actually kind of squirrel that stuff away and say, yeah, this is a mailing list. We're going to put this over here in the promotions tab. Or we're going to put this over here in the other categories. So we don't want that in your face. And it's like, and people are still doing that. They're still using that as a mechanism to reach the highest number of people possible. It's like, talk to 10 people, like who's your tribe, you know? So totally. That's what I do. I'm one of the good guys. I'm one of the good marketers. Yeah. So when you get an email from me, it's from me, right? So awesome.
Well, which is powerful. Cause I mean, also, is that really the best first impression that you want? I'm like, if it's icky, if it feels questionable, I'm like, just don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, we've all been there. Like, I feel like I can't remember a specific time when I pushed that envelope, but I'm like, you know, I mean, and I will say, like, I have heard in my MBA classes, marketing is a numbers game. Like, if you do a crazy spam effort, you might get one, you know, eventually you will land upon a client. The question is, are they the ideal client? Are they going to have realistic expectations? Are they going to have the right budget, right? Like, and are you going to approach it right? You know, that aggressive sales tactic, it will appeal to somebody. Is that the right customer?
Yeah. Are they a good fit
for
you?
Not for me.
Yeah. Me neither. Me neither. Well, what do you wish somebody told you about marketing 5 years ago? Way back.
Oh, man.
Like, seems like 50 now because of the pandemic, but no, five.
Well, it kind of relates to what we're talking about, and it's not a fun one. It's that no amount of marketing is going to compensate for a product or service that people don't care about. Mm. And that would have just saved me a lot of energy and stress. And so, you know, one of the things I tell marketers now, I'm like, if you are working to market a product or service that doesn't actually solve a pain point for who you're marketing to, no advertisement, no angle, no like cool marketing messaging, it's going to change that customer's mind. Or if it does, they're still not going to be happy. But then similarly, like you also just have to be realistic about the market you're operating in. So I've totally taken on projects where like I've had to be the Debbie Downer, where I'm like, I'd go and talk to the stakeholders that they want to work with and the decision makers, and they're like, no, like that, what you do, cool, but no, like we don't have that problem. We're not paying you. And or they might not have the budget. They're like, that's nice. That's nice to have. I love the concept of like, are you a vitamin or a painkiller? Because if you're a painkiller, you're in a really, really good position, because killing, like, painkiller is really compelling. You're in pain. Solve it. Please fix this. Whereas a vitamin's kind of like, it might be nice to have you if I have extra money. And it's like, well, what's going to happen in a down market if you're that vitamin, right? Like, you're the nice to have.
Right.
And the other key, it's like, you also have to look at your market. So like, for example, if your competitors are compensating a key influencer handsomely, and you're like, oh, but we're really special, we don't need to play by that rule. Well, if you're going to enter a new market, like there are just rules of the game. Like you have to acknowledge the rules of the game. You can like play a different game, but still you have to operate like in reality. And so a lot of my work is I'm like, I might not tell you what you want to hear, but I will tell you what you need to hear. And as long as you're willing to be flexible and pivot, like just because, your ideal customer isn't what you thought it was, doesn't mean there isn't one. It's just a matter of finding the right one.
Right. I think with close to 8 billion people on the planet, there's a right fit. Statistically, gonna nerd out with numbers here, but I'm pretty sure there's at least a couple people that would be a good fit. So, well, this has been a lot of fun. This has been a lot of fun catching up with you and hearing what you got going on and stuff that you've learned. I think we're entering a new era. I think we're entering, as far as marketing is concerned, an era where really authentic communication, building rapport, I think is easier to do now because people are like vulnerable. You know what I mean? Like they're just we all have been squishy humans, but now we're like acknowledging it and we're okay with it and we're there for each other and we care. And like you said, yeah, there's still some bad actors that are like, well, that guy's a dingus. Like, what the heck? But I mean, you can connect on a deep level with people and really learn about them. And some of them will even pay you money for your services. Can you believe that? Like, what?
I know. It's amazing. When it's right, it's so right. You're like, oh, we really need you like right now. And I'm like, oh, yes. And I really want to be there for you. Like, it's so fun. Like, those projects are so fun to work on.
They are. It works. You're in concert with people and you found your tribe. I love working with people like that. It's fun. It's like, this is great. It's almost like they're reading my mind because we're just so in tune. And then every once in a while there's a project where it's like, oh, when is this going to be over? I mean, the money's good, but I need a drink. So we've all been there. We've all been there. So how do people find you as we wrap up here? Because we've only got a few minutes left. How would people reach out to you if they're like, she sounds pretty chill. I want her to do marketing for me. What's their next step?
So they can find me at Noelle and Co, spelled out, noelleandco.io. And then I've also got my own personal website, christinemarienoelle.com, in case you're like, who is this strange lady that's obsessed with changing the world?
Awesome. 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 Well, I will put that in the show notes and I'll also say something about it in the intro. And in the
Perfect.
meantime, when I get this pushed up, I will let you know when it's scheduled to go live. I think it should go out probably the 1st of May. I think that's when it's going
Oh,
to go out.
great.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
So,
my birthday.
oh, is it really? Well,
May 1st,
preemptively, happy birthday. All right.
Thank you.
Very cool. Well, it's a pleasure chatting with you, and I hope things go well. Hope the baby happens.
Oh, fingers
Born.
crossed.
Yeah. You made it this far. I mean, it'll be fine.
Totally. Totally.
We've had 4 kids. It's like,
Oh.
billions of women have done this. You'll be fine.
I know. I know.
You'll be there. All right. Well, take care of yourself and have a good rest of the week. All right.
Likewise, it's so great seeing you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey, listener, hopefully you learned something really cool in this episode. Marketing is a big, big area and can seem overwhelming, but hearing from experts like today's guest helps demystify it. If you learned something, consider telling your friends about the Elite Marketing Tips podcast here on anchor.fm or anywhere you consume podcasts. We appreciate your listenership.